FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with channeler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness. Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with quantum physics and consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Thanks. Good afternoon. And this is, well, it's the first Friday of the month, of course. And although it looks like we may be
Are we on?
We are on, yes. The first Friday of the month, we have David Watson with us, although that might be changing. We might switch you over to a Monday where we can get more callers. Yeah, so David is a deep trance channeler, and he works with a soul group called The Willows, and he can be found on the web at askthewillows.com, so A-S-K, askthewillows.com. And actually today, we thought we'd talk about channeling, what channeling is, our mindset and responsibility to practice it. And I guess you have some Saturn news.
Saturn news for those who... knew Michael Blake Reed, a very well-known channeler in the southern Ontario area and in the west coast area, particularly in the British Columbia area, but famous actually throughout the United States and into Europe as well. He's channeled a group of entities called the Evergreens, and Michael unfortunately passed away on Sunday the 27th after a bit of an illness. So apparently they... Saturn had a little drink of wine and were playing his favorite music as he crossed. So it was a lovely end to an incredible life, you know. And my wishes go out to his wife, Ali Rosell. She's the creator of a psychological system called Core Belief Engineering, and Ali is an old friend, and I certainly send her my deepest condolences. But as it is, and as we believe as channelers, this is just part of a large cycle. And when we leave, as the native people often say, I know the Chippewas in particular, they talk about dropping the robe when one leaves the physical body and enters onto that what they call the blue road. And that's basically what I know Michael believed, and it's certainly what many of us believe who do this for a living, and also many of you out there who happen to believe in...
reincarnation?
Reincarnation. You know, I always say it's making a comeback, you know. But, so, indeed. But apparently, I won't joke, but the hillbilly days, which there aren't any more anymore, you know.
No.
But that's what they call, what does a hillbilly call when you come back into a new life? Reincarnation. But that's a joke. Maybe we'll get some phone calls. I don't know.
With that, yes.
I think so. Anyway, and it's interesting because Michael was the fellow who... in actual fact, was instrumental in helping my mentor, Cliff Preston, who channels a group of entities called the Echoes. He was instrumental in helping Cliff really devise and divine his channeling process. And, of course, it was almost 30 years ago when I met Cliff, and it's been over 26, almost going on 27 years that I've been doing deep trance channeling myself. And, of course, Cliff was the one who helped me find my way through that and begin to discover that part of my hidden talents, it seemed. But interestingly, Michael, who was quite well known in the Toronto area back in the 70s, was quite involved in helping others step into their own power. Once he had discovered his channeling ability, he discovered it quite accidentally. He was an editor and a writer at an agency in Toronto, and I believe one afternoon he was had one of those little kind of love seats sitting in his office, so, you know, for group meetings, and he sort of dozed off on it one afternoon, and a couple of people came in and started talking to him. He started talking literally in his sleep, and they, you know, he was answering questions and that sort of thing. And then he woke up and he said, "What are you doing here?" And they said, "Well, we were just talking to you." And he said, "No, you weren't. I was asleep." And it occurred to him that he was doing some type of somnambulistic process and conversing in that way.
And did they like him when he was channeling more than when he...
Well, interestingly enough, I didn't know Michael in the early days, but I did know Michael, you know, certainly, you know, about 14, 15 years ago when I first met him. And his channeling, you couldn't tell the difference between him channeling and him in consciousness. Oh, okay. And I think, although he didn't say it, I think the two had combined. I mean, he was such a lovely, gentle energy about him. And, you know, there was a kindness that just kind of emanated from him. Yet a certain degree of, I wouldn't call it aloofness, but I would call it, you know, he was very much aware of his own presence, you know, in that way, which is, I guess, the best way I can describe it, because some people mistake that as being, you know, aloof, but, you know, he's very much understood that part of himself. But he definitely helped Cliff, because when Cliff first discovered that he could channel, he actually was living in Fort Erie and working for a company in Buffalo, which a lot of people do. They'll live in Canada and work in the States, or vice versa, you know. I think it's vice versa now, mostly, for people who can get away with it, because houses are a lot cheaper in northern New York than they are in southern Ontario. But anyway, in that time, he was managing a plant and light manufacturing, and it was going back to the point where they used to have these subliminal tapes they would have you listen to it and make you feel better and help you be more productive and things like that. So Cliff, being a far-thinking kind of guy, went, this is right up my alley. I want to try these. And he tried the tapes, and he went so deep, he went into trance and began to, you know, bring information forth. And that was kind of interesting. So both of them kind of fell into it in their own ways. And I saw Cliff do it, and I fell into it when I was watching Cliff do a process. I kind of went, oh, I know what this guy's going to say next, and I knew what he was... And I went right into the process. And then, I discovered that later on that was one of the things I should be doing with my life if I chose. And so I did. And here I am. And older and wiser for it, I think, and a lot happier in who I am as a human being. You know? But a little story about Michael. Michael had written Gladys Davies. Now, Gladys Davies was Edgar Casey's secretary, and she worked for them, you know, she called Mr. Casey, you know, from the mid-20s into the mid-40s when Casey died, and then, you know, she then married and led a life, but until then she basically dedicated her entire life to doing all the writing and transcription of all of the readings that Casey did. And for those of you who don't know who Edgar Casey is, just Google up Edgar Casey, C-A-Y-C-E, and you'll find out lots about this guy. He was what I consider to be the master as far as channeling and doing deep trance work and prognosticating and doing things of that nature. You know, I wouldn't call him a modern-day Nostradamus. He was far more erudite and far more accurate in his information giving. And for those who are interested, you can go online and find the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, an organization that he and his wife created back in the 30s, I believe, late 30s. And it's got all of his readings all documented, and now they're available through their website. So I think you can join up for a few bucks a year and find out a lot about who they call the sleeping prophet, which seems to be what the banks are doing with our money these days. But that's another story, with the sleeping prophets. But anyway, back to Edgar Cayce. So at one point when Michael had been channeling for a couple of years, he sent, you know, one of those big reel-to-reel things, because that's how long ago it was. Remember those? For those of you who don't, never mind. And he sent this off to Gladys Davies for her to listen to. And she sent back a note with it and said it was just like listening to Mr. Cayce again. You know, and that was something I know he treasured all his life, was to get that almost thumbs up. Because he did approach, as did Cliff, both approached the ARA in the past. And I believe that they were more focused on just working on Cayce's work and weren't interested in discussing her, getting involved with any new deep trance people. But Gladys, you know, she could give her opinion about whatever she wanted to. And that was very interesting. And it was going back about 15, 16 years for me, back to 15 years this year, when I first met Michael, and I was taking a course out in BC in core belief engineering, fascinating process, which we could talk about a little later, perhaps, or some other time. But anyway, it turns out that Ellie, who created this core belief engineering process, which is, a phenomenal method of healing in the short term. You know, there's not multiple visits involved, which is very good. And lo and behold, it turns out that she's married to Michael Blake Reed, which I didn't have a clue. Everybody kept talking about Michael, and I'm going, oh, okay. You know, I didn't know if they were talking about the archangel or what, you know. But anyway, I took the course, and I went out to BC where they lived, and still live, and now Ellie. One day I did a reading for them, and I got his thumbs up and her thumbs up from what I had done. I got some good feedback on my reading. So I felt it was a very nice, you know, nod in that direction. And interestingly enough, after that happened, and I think probably because I not only learned how to do the core belief engineering process, I did several processes on myself, the quality of my channeling really improved, you know, exponentially to the work that I did. Because, you know, which is part of what we wanted to talk about today anyway, which is as to the responsibility and
mindset.
And the mindset. Well, I think from my perspective, a clear mind is one that is necessary to bring clear information and allow information to come through with as little tainting as possible from our incredibly opinionated and judgmental minds we human beings have, you know, because we got opinions about everything. So things like that, if you're channeling, I find when you do that kind of work and you do that clearing inside and you find your own core in that way, is a very strong and powerful way to do it, because you have to do the work and you have to clear your unconscious mind from, you know, limiting beliefs and negative belief systems, and pre-programmed belief systems that really aren't your own. You know, so those are things that are very important, because, you know, to do channeling, it's an enormous responsibility to be able to, you know, sit down with somebody and provide them with information that they are then going to take back and use in their life, as the willows say, if you so choose. But normally people will take the information, and once they get it, they are going to be applying it in their lives. And the responsibility that comes with that is indeed very, very, very profound, you know. And it's something that I've always taken, you know, with a great amount of responsibility and seriousness, you know, because, let's face it, people change their lives on information that they're given. We all do in one way or another. So if you're going to be an information giver, you know, make sure what you're giving is clean and pure and without negative intention. You know? So
All right, we're going to go to our first break. If you have any questions and you would like to talk to David or the Willows, you can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Just ain't found one yet. I sent a message in a bottle. Took another swallow. I heard it didn't get there. I heard that it had missed you. But this is what it said. The two little things have gone my way. I'm back together again. I'm staring in the mirror. And it's been so long. Temptation just so hard to resist. That stolen Picasso, the best above your head. I wish you could hear me. This is what I say. Today the things ain't gone my way. I'm back together again. I'm staring in the mirror. It's been so long since I see you, my friend.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is the first Friday. We have David Watson here with us. David is a deep trance channeler as well as a life strategist. Yes.
Sure.
Can be found on the web at askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com. We're talking about channeling. Not sure if the Willows are going to be joining us at any point, but they probably will.
Well, we can always always have a Willow reading. You know.
There you go.
Wouldn't be a program talking about channeling without doing some channeling.
Really? I know. So let's talk. You talked a little bit about the mindset. Mm-hmm. But let's talk what channeling is. I mean, I know we've probably discussed it a few times, but it's always good to...
Well, I always keep changing it. You know?
Well, there you go.
Well, you know, I think the more that one does something, the more one becomes aware it's not just one thing. You know, channeling is, I guess, would be defined as somebody being able to bring in an energy or an entity or something outside of themselves to bring it through themselves to allow that energy or entity to express itself through the person to the people who are asking or questions. Or
I guess it can sometimes be their higher self as well.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of thoughts and ideas about that. My sense is that first of all, I get concerned about people who start talking about things coming from outside of them, inside of them. You know, that means that we're not honoring our inner being,
right? You know?
And because that, in fact, is what connects us with everything. And it's connected through an internal understanding, not through an external thing that we do. We don't go out into the world to pick up channel sources. We go within ourselves and we connect with, we say a higher energy or a higher vibrational energy, but that is found through our internal process and our internal journey. So, you know, it's hard to say what the actual definition of the term channeling is. You know, when you begin to realize that, I believe that each one of us channels ourselves. Hmm. You know, who are we? How do we get ideas? Where did that thought come from? How did we know what to say next when we're having a conversation with somebody? Do we like to make this whole conversation up? And are we running a script in our head? Well, some of us do. You know, which creates a lot of problems for those of us who wind up thinking like that, because then we really don't have an opportunity to be in the flow of our own consciousness, which is the main point of channeling,
right?
You know. We have a tendency to try and analyze and rationalize and edit all of the information we put out, and all the information we bring in, you know, we delete and we change it, and we bring it into a different format through our own beliefs that we hold in front of us. You know, distort, delete, and generalize is the term that the NDP pundits use. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do when we bring information in. We distort it. In other words, we have to bring it into a way that we can understand it. Delete it, well, we cut out the stuff that we don't really know or we're not interested in. And how many times have you said something to somebody, or somebody said something to you, and you thought you heard what they said, or they thought they heard what you said, but they only heard what they thought they heard? They didn't hear what you said.
Yes.
Or vice versa. So that's where the deletion comes in. You know, and generalizing, well, we have to generalize stuff. Otherwise, you know, if we're watching a movie or something like that, and somebody asks us about, well, how was the movie? You know, you don't start from, like, buying the popcorn and then sitting down. You know, you talk about the general theme, and you talk about, you know, the plot or whatever. So that's those are natural things that the conscious mind does to bring information through. So I think that... In our own ability to channel ourselves, you know, we are unaware of these hidden, you know, these hidden energies that we're using to interact with the world around us. You know, but if we open ourselves and we stop trying to control everything in our heads, then we flow a lot more as naturally as individuals, and that's where the truth, I believe, begins to come out for us. We begin to really sense that there is more of a connection to a higher vibration or a higher energy. And, you know, since we all are connected from my corner of the universe, you know, I believe that we're all part of a matrix that that interconnects with everything. I kind of visualize it a bit as like the holodeck from Star Trek. But using that image of looking at the grid before you step into the holodeck and turn anything on, and realize that within that grid, okay, that's the grid that everything's on and everything's connected through. When you click on the reality or the holodeck image comes in and the world appears around us, we no longer become aware of the connections. We only become aware of what we see and interact with it. It's a really nice metaphor that particular program, and just hundreds of metaphors. That program, Star Wars, and other movies that we've been introduced to with these new concepts over the years, but it is a very good way of imagining how things work. So if we're all connected in that way, when we connect to our higher selves, or that's the part of ourself that I always describe, that's the part that's watching you do everything you're doing. You know that part?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
You know? And as you watch it, as you're watching it do all that, you know, it's, you ever ask yourself exactly what it is, or what the purpose of watching yourself do all of that kind of thing? Because I know many times I have, and then many people would say, boy, you find some really interesting things to waste your time with, Dave, you know, but I think the truth is that that's a little part of beginning to explore our inner self. And that's kind of what I do for a living anyway, so I do those kind of little thinking processes, and, you know, contemplation things, you know. And I think out of that, we begin to understand how we all are connected, how we can connect to a larger grid. I mean, how is it that someone knows that somebody they love and care for is sick or ill or has passed away suddenly? You know, sometimes I know people who've never seen anything like that in their life will suddenly see a brother or a sister or a parent or a close relative show up suddenly, and the next thing they know, that person is crossed, you know. And what is that? You know, that's being connected to the grid. There's a certain charge or energy that goes out, and if we're in a receptive mood, we pick up that level of energy, that vibration of energy, and there we are. I mean, more mundanely, you know, you're thinking of somebody a lot, and I got to give them a call soon. And lo and behold, within a day or so of that, they call you. You haven't talked to them for months. It's just like, whoa, as Bill and Ted used to say, you know, whoa, dude, you know. It's a pretty interesting thing when those kind of things happen. And I believe that's all part of our natural ability to channel and to communicate in that way, you know. So it's when you have divine inspiration, I mean, you're trying to solve a problem or you're trying to figure something out, you sit and can't figure it out, and you're just sitting there minding your own business, having a tea or a coffee, or your favorite beverage, I guess. And as you're sitting there just contemplating and ruminating without thinking about anything in particular, bam, an idea comes right to you, and the next thing you know, you're inspired. That happened to Rob Williams when he created Psych K. You know, he was having a moment of extreme frustration, and he said, there's got to be an easier way than this to, you know, work with psychology. And suddenly, it's like the floodgates opened, and he started downloading all this information, and he spent, you know, weeks, like, putting it down and separating it and that sort of thing, and created this whole brilliant psychological process called Psych K from doing that. So I believe that we can tie into that divine consciousness, and I do believe that we can do it through connecting through our higher self. And what is the higher self, you may ask?
What is the higher self, David?
Oh, great poobah, you know? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But according to the those guys from Hawaii, you know, who practice Huna, the conscious mind exists with the unconscious mind surrounding it. And surrounding the unconscious mind is the higher consciousness. It's all one consciousness. But, you know, we humans have to differentiate everything, you know, divide and conquer. And so we have to divide everything up. So the higher consciousness is a higher aspect of our conscious mind. It's almost like an observational part of who we are, from my perspective. You know, and other people will talk about being spirit, being in another plane. I mean, I guess it's all right. I don't think that any of it's wrong. It's just that each one of us has a different take on it, don't we? You know, from our own life experience. You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know you've been to some of my classes and that sort of thing in the past. And that sort of thing. I mean, what's your feeling about channeling and all of that sort of thing?
I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we can discuss that.
Oh, nice segue.
Terry, if you have a question, you want to talk to the Willows, want to know kind of what's going on, want some guidance, give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. Or you can send an instant feedback. Just be really clear on the instant feedback, what it is that you're wanting to know. We're listening with David Watson, and he can be found on the web at askthewillows.com. or on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
This is where the mind meets the soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com. Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. And this is Intuitive Soul and Friends. And today we have David Watson here with us. David is a deep trance channeler. He channels his own soul group called The Willows. And we were sort of talking about, you know, what channeling is before the break, and then yeah. David decided he would ask me a question.
I was asking you. But it was time for break.
It was. But if you want more information on David, go to visit him on his website at askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com. Okay, so what would I say? Oh, yeah. If anybody has any questions, this would be the time to give us a call. 248-545-SOUL, that's 248-545-7685. What would I say?
Well, you've had, you know, numerous experiences over the years.
I have.
Many different prognosticators.
As well as channeling Guan Yin. So,
yes,
and
that's it.
You know, I think channeling really, I mean, I don't do deep trance. I think we all channel. I think it's just part of our intuitive process, just like you were mostly explaining in the last segment. I mean, it is... You know, it is that making that connection with who we are and that inner aspect of us and that. So, yeah, I think we all have the ability to channel. We may not all want a deep trance channel, I think the light trance channel is, you know, one concept. And I think, you know, I think it's all the same, you know, whether it's automatic writing or, you know, the different variations, meditation, they're all ways of us bringing a higher vibration into us to try and raise our own vibration.
Well, the other thing that we have to keep in mind, too, I think, is musicians. I mean, where does that music come from? Where does the tune come from? Where does the inspiration come from? A wonderful piece of fiction, or you know, a stunning movie or play.
Right.
You know, I mean, where do the dance steps come from when you watch somebody like Gene Kelly or Margot Fonteyn or you know, Baryshnikov? I mean, where do they learn to do that? But it's they always add some of their own energy to it. And they're channeling that fully, that energy. You know, having done stage work in the past myself, I know what it's like when you go onto stage. You bring a totally different energy through yourself.
Right.
And there's an interaction between you and the people out there, which I know is why a lot of musicians provide and do what they do. I have a number of friends who are musicians. It's funny, you know, I was recently went to see some guys from the old Buffalo Springfield in town here. And they were just playing at a local club, you know. A friend of mine was a bass player. Used to play with a group back in the 70s. So we go down to meet these guys. And of course, everyone who was there that night were all musicians from a number of different, you know, the old time groups, you know. And somebody turns to me and says, "So what do you play?" And I said, "I listen," which I do, you know. I said, "I'm one of the reasons you guys play," you know. But it was true, you know, it was true. But I think that capacity to create or to go into that state again, just to allow the music to flow through you, or the words, as actors do, you know, the words just come through them. It's like they didn't. Well, it's not like they're making them up or remembering them. It's just they become a natural part of what they're doing and what's happening next. So as much as the same for us, I believe, when we go through our life experiences. As I said earlier, like, where do we get some of the ideas we get? I don't know. What do you think?
Right. Okay, did you want to bring Willis on for a little
sure,
bit?
Sure, we could do that. You know, if you have some questions or want to hear what they have to say.
Sure, let's hear
the
what
old thing
say.
There. Sure, we can do that. This is our channeling session.
And this David gets quiet. He brings the wheels in quite quickly these days.
Yes. We're here now.
Do you need to balance the wand?
This is in effect now, the agreement of the entity, David. We are in the house, so to speak. Yes.
Perfect. Well, we've been sort of talking about channeling and, you know, how and where channeling comes from. And I know that you're part of the same soul group with David, so it's an easy connection. Is there anything that you would like to say about channeling to those that may be considering it or those that are just trying to really work on their intuition? It seems to be similar.
Well, the most important thing to recall here is that it's a perfectly natural process. It is not something that is unusual or supernatural. The energy that you work within as human beings is limited by your five senses. When you put yourself into a different state of consciousness, in other words, close the eyes and focus inward, you begin to disassociate from what you consider to be reality and connect with what we would call to be your inner truth or your inner reality. And this inner reality, in fact, is all that is. It is that which contains the reality around you. It is that reality every time you open your eyes that is still there. Therefore, it is contained within your consciousness. So you would see here, by closing your eyes and going into this deep state, you automatically begin to connect to higher levels of consciousness. But the lower levels of consciousness are held on the physical level and are connected with your five senses, you see? And so in doing this, some people will have dreams, other people will have visions, other people may do automatic writing, or just have an idea or a thought. And other people may do absolutely nothing, yes, when they go into this deep state. that depends upon the desire of the individual to discover new and more evolved levels of consciousness. We believe that it is a natural predilection of all sentient beings to continually move towards expansion of consciousness and awareness. And that is not just in the world around you, but it is within your own consciousness, which the world around you is also contained within as well, as we say. So in doing this, and to begin practicing these aspects of releasing your conscious mind, of allowing yourself to just go with the flow, stop resisting the feelings and thoughts that you are having, and stop trying to analyze or edit everything that you are saying or doing, and you will begin to get an idea of the true flow of consciousness that is required for channeling, as you would see it. It is this flow of consciousness, indeed, that the individual allows to become the basis of the channel source. For the channel source is indeed a combination of universal energy and the individual's consciousness. Now, it is important, as Anthony David did point out earlier, that the individual work on their conscious mind, the relieving themselves and releasing themselves from attachments, from desires and needs, from judgment, yes, and from opinions. So that as information comes through, after a question is asked, of course, the information need not be thought about twice by the channeler. For in the beginning, all channeling is done, we would say 95% of the time, consciously. So it is important here to pay attention to this, so that the information that is being provided is straightforward and unstained, unsullied, so to speak. You see? And inasmuch as this is the case, and there are different techniques to do this, that if you work with people who do channel, may choose to help you with. We know the entity David and also the entity Clifford Preston have both created channeling courses that provide a very succinct and a short-term opportunity to allow you to begin to connect with your channeled source. And it is this you may pay attention to. If you look upon websites and things of this nature in times to come, you will be able to find these events occurring. But for the manner of this channeling process, there is also understanding what the benefit is for the channeler. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Many channelers will say it shortens their life. Edgar Casey, who is an example here, didn't pass away earlier in life than necessary, in his mid-60s. And it was this because of the fact that he was channeling upwards to 10 to 12 hours a day. To do this, of course, is a tremendous strain on anybody, particularly once they get into their 60s. And of course, the reason he was doing this was to help so many people who were asking and needing help as a result of the Second World War. Many questions about relatives and this sort of thing. Plus presidential work that was done at that time. So he burned himself out, so to speak. But if an individual paces themselves and works wholeheartedly from an informed point of view, they would have a normal life in this way. The major benefit being for the individual, the knowledge that one is helping others, which is one of the major purposes of being on the earth plane, is to help each other and to interact and to share information. All of these things are done through the auspices of the channeling process, you see? Mm-hmm. It is, there are much better ways to make a living, so to speak. Some channelers do very well for themselves, others struggle. But it has to do with the individual belief systems of the channelers and also the degree in which they are promoting themselves and to whom they are appealing. But that is a story, again, for others who are wondering as to who they should go to for channeling. Yes? Mm-hmm. We always would say, you go to the people that you feel most comfortable with. In other words, if you feel intimidated, or you feel that they are looking down their nose at you, or if you find that you begin to feel uncomfortable or within yourself around these people, simply do not do it. This happens from time to time to all channelers, but it is most important that you, choosing a channeler in this way, must be completely comfortable with their energy and not feel in a position where they are indeed telling you what to do. For this is the most important part of the channeling process of all, is to understand if you are with that of a person who is channeling well, they are not giving you negative information. They are not telling you about terrible things that are going to happen to you. They are not suggesting that awful things are going to happen to your family. They do not work through intimidation. If they do, and they do these other things, then these are not the ones for you. Unless, of course, you like to be repressed. Do you see?
Right. We actually have to go to break. When we come back, we'll maybe have a little bit more of the Willows. You are listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson and the Willows with us today. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
You got your ball, you got your chain tied to me, tight, tie me up again. Who's got the claws in you, my friend? To your heart, beat again, sweet like a bed to my soul, sweet you rock and sweet you roll, lost for you, I'm so lost for you, oh, when you come crash into me. Come into you, and I come into you.
Through the window, and I stare at you. Where am I with this?
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Hey, welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have David Watson with us, and David is back in trance, and we have the Willows with us now. David can be found on the web at askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com, and you can find out more information. He does Skype calling, phone sessions, so connect with him and maybe get a New Year's reading. All right, so we have the Willows. You know, you mentioned at the end, and I guess really it has a lot to do not only with the intention of the channeler, but the intention as well of those that come to see and seek advice, because you know, the clearer you are in what it is that you're wanting to know about, the clearer you're able to also help them. Because the more clouded and confused you are, probably that comes through when you're trying to channel in and connect with their higher powers.
Yes. You are speaking here basically about what? The confusion of those asking the question?
Well, just the intent. It's not only the intent of the channeler, but it's just as the intent of the people that are coming and asking for guidance is also just as important, I would think.
Well, this is why this is be of those who would go to seek a channeler would always speak with them or a representative of the channeler before the session to have a good idea as to the best way to pose questions and the best way to approach a session for themselves. This be upon the Entity David's website, as it is on many other channeler websites, how the protocol would go, and the way to handle oneself during a process. But indeed, sometimes people would expect channeler or the channeled source in particular. Often we have found this within our own realm here. People want us to solve their problem. Mm. They want us to give them the answer, to tell them what to do. They want us to give them full direction and release themselves from personal responsibility. This is the other half of the responsibility issue here with channeling. Not only is the channeler holding a degree of this responsibility, but so is the questioner. And the questioner must take onto themselves the responsibility of wanting to take charge of their own lives, but needing information to allow them to do so in, shall we say, a more expedient way. You see?
Yes.
So from this perspective, then, when one would come to a channeler or use channel source, that is what one should expect. In other words, a collusion, a strategizing process, something that's going to allow the individual to begin to use their own common sense and their own experience to move ahead in life. When the channeler would just give information and say, do this or do that, or don't do this or don't do that, and then what is left for the person who is, in this case here, asking the questions? It resolves them and releases them from making a decision on their own. If they follow the channeled information and it doesn't work, they have someone else to blame. You see? And the truth of the matter is, they do not necessarily need to go to a source of this nature to find out blame. You see? It is not a matter of blame. It is a matter of determining direction and determining how you would like things to work. But ultimately, it is the individual's choice that counts. Any conversation you have with another is just words, but it's up to you to take those words and to either use them or reject them in your own way. And this includes information from channelers. They are not divine beings. They are not messengers of God. They are not archangels, although some say that they are. And we would not wish to have a dispute with this, but archangels are indeed a concept of human consciousness, as you would discover by perhaps reading some of our works, finding through book, refer here of the Conscious Omniverse, available through your large booksellers, yes, online, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is these here that would be indicated that the channel source is not above the individual, but it is in synchronization with the individual. When one becomes subservient to one to a channeler, when one becomes and a channeler begins to act superior to those coming to them for information, for the readings, then the relationship is imbalanced. It is an exchange of information. It is an aid. Yes, it is not a control. And these are the things that you must take into account as a client going to a channeler. As we say, if you go and they begin to give you information that sounds like they're telling you what to do or how to do it, or what you're doing is completely wrong and you must do what they tell you, it is time to rethink the information you're getting.
Right. Well, if you'd like to bring the David back, because we are just coming out of time, and we do appreciate your guidance.
Well, we hope this has been helpful.
Yes, thank you.
So we thank you, and we release the form.
All right, so we are at the end of the show.
Who are
but
we now?
We are. So.
Well, I hope the show was a good one.
It was. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We're not sure. David might be changing his show to Mondays, so we will let you know come March.
Yes.
You've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.